For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy to have you with us today. I trust you are doing well. We've got a lot of ground to cover today, and I want to get down to a couple of big stories that we've been following. And no doubt about it, the mainstream media, they hate Donald Trump, and it is absolutely no surprise that trust in the mainstream media is at an all-time low. So yesterday, President Trump holding two different rallies, and the president in rare form. The president was out there. He's in fighting mode. He's in shape. He feels great. He's out there, and he's talking about the big issues of the day. And leave it to Reuters to publish a fake news story on the president. And I just want to say this right out of the gate here. Anytime you see a hit piece on Donald Trump, don't believe it. I don't care if it's Fox. I don't care who's doing the story. Do not believe it. Always wait until you get the video evidence. And it's not even so much the video evidence. You actually need the proof, the full video. You need the full context of whatever the president is talking about. Because these people are evil in the mainstream media. You cannot trust them. They will take everything the president says out of context. And that's what happened yesterday. You are probably seeing the headlines that Donald Trump calls all immigrants not human. He calls them animals. Well, no, that's simply not true. As a matter of fact, we've got the audio, and we're going to play it for you. Now, this is the clip you probably heard on your local news today, Cut 21.
The Democrats say, please don't call them animals. They're humans. I said, no, they're not humans. They're not humans. They're animals.
So that's what you heard, right? But the problem is there's more to it. And anybody in any media that played just that soundbite, and that soundbite alone, is guilty of fake news, period. Because there's much more to it. And we're going to get to that in just a little while. But this is absolutely despicable what these people are doing to Donald Trump, because that's not what he said. Trump was specifically referring to the illegal aliens who are out there killing and mutilating people on American soil. Trump was talking about the illegal alien who was accused of murdering Lakin Riley, the 22-year-old nursing student from Georgia. And in general terms, he said the violent illegals who are attacking Americans on American soil are not human. I agree with that. I believe they are subhuman. I believe they are savages. I believe they are monsters. Now, all of this was written by Reuters, and I want to explain how this works. Every single news organization in the country, it doesn't matter if it's Fox, Newsmax, your local newspaper, they have what they call a national and international news service they use. And these groups provide them the news and information. So you have Associated Press and you have Reuters. Those are the two big ones. And if you read your daily newspaper, you see Reuters stories and Associated Press stories. And typically, those are just taken from the feed and they're published. The authors of this piece, Nathan Lane, Graham Slattery, and Tim Reed, you need to know those names. Those are character assassins. That's who they are. They're the guys that wrote this disgusting hit piece on Donald Trump. Now, the Reuters article was published in hundreds of newspapers and digital platforms around the nation. But as of, I don't know, a few seconds ago, it was not retracted. It was not corrected. But it ought to be. Now, just a few moments ago, Congressman Byron Donalds actually shared this clip on social media. Take a listen.
The Democrats say, please don't call them animals. They're humans. I said, no, they're not humans. They're not humans. They're animals.
He's calling immigrants animals.
Call migrants animals. Calling undocumented migrants animals.
Calling immigrants animals.
About migrants. Calling them not human.
Not all immigrants are animals like he called them today. Like, that's an incendiary statement that's just so divisive and so hateful that it's kind of hard to understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Student in Georgia who was barbarically murdered by an illegal alien animal. The Democrats say, please don't call them animals. They're humans. I said, no, they're not humans. They're not humans. They're animals. And Nancy Pelosi told me that. She said, please don't use the word animal, sir, when you're talking about these people. I said, I'll use the word animal because that's what they are. I'll never forget my vow to her.
The police report reveals that the 22-year-old was beaten to death with a mystery object. Beaten so badly that she suffered a, quote, disfigured skull. Her body was then reportedly dragged to a secluded area. The suspect in this atrocious crime is a Venezuelan illegal immigrant who crossed the border back in 2022.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I have a question for you. Do you have a problem with Donald Trump calling Lakin Riley's murderer an animal, not human? Do you have a problem with that? Because clearly the Democrats do, and it's really not much of a surprise, because the Democrats, when you go back to the murder of Lakin Riley, there were no statements, there was no condemnation coming from the White House here, right? They believed that almost as if Lakin Riley was the true criminal because she got an illegal alien in trouble by getting murdered by one of them. That's, again, the mindset of these Democrats. They hate American-born citizens. They love the illegal aliens. And for you guys to be, you're almost collateral damage. But it's even worse than that, because even if they do go out there and kill an American citizen, the Democrats, they don't believe that should be a crime. And that's why you didn't have any condemnation coming from the White House when poor Lakin Riley was beaten to death by this subhuman animal. But my problem on this one is the outright lies and the way this was framed by Reuters, because they knew exactly what Donald Trump was talking about, and it didn't matter to them. It was just like the Very Fine People controversy coming out of Charlottesville, where President Trump was accused of saying, well, the white supremacists are very fine people. No, that's not what he said. As a matter of fact, in that speech, Trump specifically called out and condemned the white supremacist. But the mainstream media left that out. These people are liars, filthy, dirty, subhuman liars. That's who these reporters are. This is garbage reporting. And Nathan Lane and Graham Slattery and Tim Reed ought not to be working for any news publication in America. It's filth, and it's all meant to change your opinion of Donald Trump. This goes back to Russia collusion, right? Russia, 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 or the word bloodbath. It's going to be a bloodbath. No, they were accusing President Trump of going out there saying, we're going to slaughter people on the streets. Never said it. Never said it. They're liars. Every single one of them are liars. And we're going to call them out on this radio program, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to call them out every single time. And it's interesting because Reuters took down the authors of this piece, but I spent a good 45 minutes tracking down these thugs with ink pens, and we're going to call them out. We're going to name and shame on this radio program because I'm sick of it. And I suspect you, too, are sick of it. So I want to go back. We actually have the isolated clip here. This is what President Trump said in context.
Student in Georgia who was barbarically murdered by an illegal alien animal. The Democrats say, please don't call them animals. They're humans. I said, no, they're not humans. They're not humans. They're animals. And Nancy Pelosi told me that. She said, please don't use the word animal, sir, when you're talking about these people. I said, I'll use the word animal because that's what they are. I'll never forget my vow to her.
So there you go. President Trump believes that the illegal alien who brutally beat this poor young woman to death. And my understanding is the crime scene was gruesome. Trump said, this guy's, he's an animal. He's not human. And what is it that the media says? How dare you? How dare you? Who do you think you are? Calling an illegal, an undocumented person. Who do you think you are? Calling an undocumented person an animal. I got no problem. I got no problem calling these people animals. They come across our border, criminals. They hurt our people, rape women, brutalize children. Yeah, they're animals. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, do you have a problem with what President Trump said here? 901-260-5926. We're going to take your calls on this. 901-260-5926. Now, last year, Gallup did a survey, and they asked you folks a very simple question. Do you trust the media? Do you trust what's in your local newspaper coming out of your local TV station? Only 32% of all Americans said they trust journalists a great deal, but only 11% of Republicans. So an overwhelming number of Americans, Republican and Democrat, don't trust the media at all. Now, I want to offer a suggestion to all of the newspapers, all the digital platforms out there that currently subscribe to Reuters. If you really want to restore some trust in the public, you can start by canceling that Reuters contract. All right, we've got to take a break. Opening up the phone lines, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. By the way, folks, just to give you a heads up, if you have not gotten a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, go to ToddStearns.com right now, and you can order a copy. Amazon still waiting to get restocked. They've completely sold out of the book at Amazon. Barnes & Noble does have copies available, and you can get that information again at barnesandnoble.com. Also, Books A Million, they've got copies available as well. And both of those bookstores are partnering with us for our nationwide book tour. So we're really excited about this. So, again, all right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Rocco, starting our day in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Rocco. What say you? What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking, Rocco. What's on your mind?
I have a question for you. Recently, Princess Kate took a picture, and it was edited in some way, and the whole world basically stopped because it was an edited photo. It's like, the you know, people cannot believe it. Well, Todd, what you just played was edited audio of Donald Trump. I've been in the printing industry for almost 40-something years, and every picture that you see is edited in some way, whether it's cropped, whether the color is brightened or lightened or anything like that. So why is it okay to edit and splice together words of Donald Trump, and that's okay? But if you Princess Kate takes an edited photo, and the world comes to an end, basically, for a couple of days.
Well, look, I mean, again, if you are personally editing a photo for your own whatever, what do I care? You know, again, but when you are doing it to intentionally make Trump look like he's saying something that he is not saying, to me, I think that's criminal. If nothing else, Trump ought to be allowed to sue these people. But it's very hard when you're a public figure, Rocco, and we've dealt with this. There are some things out there about me that are simply not true. They're factually wrong. They're in it. And I can't do a thing about it because I'm a public figure and people get to lie about public figures.
I just don't understand. I do understand the hypocrisy, but I just can't tolerate
it. It's disgusting.
On one side of the coin, it's this way. The other side of the coin, it's not that way.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Anything to stop him. Anything to stop him. That's pure hatred that you see.
That's it, Rocco. And we're going to call it out on this program. We've got to, because too many newspapers are going to carry that story today, and it's simply not true. Rocco, thank you for calling in. Let's go to Samantha in Bartlett, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hi, Samantha.
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Do Democrats and liberals want safety? I mean, it's like I'm living in an alternate universe. They want to live in chaos and have criminals running things, just like they're doing in Shelby County in Tennessee. I don't understand it. Do they not want to be able to go to the grocery store and feel safe, or have their daughters go for a jog and be safe? What Trump said is true. If you kill another human, you are an animal. That's it. There's nothing else to say about it. And I'm going to make this quick, and then I'll let you go. I'm urging everyone, if you don't vote for Trump, we are in big trouble. That's just all there is to it. The criminals are running this country, and it has got to stop. And really, that's all I have
to
say.
Samantha, to your point, the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, says that crime is really on the way down. It's really just a perception issue. But we're doing an unofficial tally of the number of people who were shot in Memphis just last month. You ready for this, Samantha? 79 people. 79 people.
Right.
Shot.
Right. It is mind-boggling that people think this is okay, and they find excuses for them, and the activists get on their Facebook and their, you know, Instagram, and they find excuses, and they were hungry. Yes, it is their fault. I grew up poor. I lived in a duplex with me and my dad and my sister. We slept in the little dining room. We didn't even have a real bedroom. My dad was a wonderful man, and he did the best he could, and he was the best father there ever was. But we were poor. But I did not grow up robbing, killing, and stealing from people. There is no excuse. And we've got to elect better people, and Trump has got to get back in office. If we have another 4 years of Biden, I can't imagine. I don't know that we'll ever come back.
Samantha, I appreciate the call, and thank you for the passion, and you're 1,000% correct here. And this is the concern I write about in Culture and Twilight's Last Gleaming. And hear me on this, ladies and gentlemen. We can't save America. We can stop the communists from taking over. But if we don't put Donald Trump back in the Oval Office, then I'm not sure we're going to be able to save this country. And that's what President Trump was talking about. We've got some more audio coming. And they're Trump. They are attacking him. And the reason why is they know he is over the target. They know the man is right. but they don't want him anywhere near that White House. I'm telling you, folks, if we do not put Trump back in the White House, this country may not be able to recover from another 4 years of Democrat pro-crime rule. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to the phones coming up next. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS.
Because if we don't win on November 5th, I think our country is going to cease to exist. It could be the last election we ever have. I actually mean that. We don't win. I think this could be the last election we ever have. That's where our country's going.
All right. That was President Trump yesterday. Do you believe that? I mean, based on when you read my book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? You will understand why the president said what he said. Because we are facing a communist infestation right now in this country. They're going after every single foundational freedom we have. And I believe the president is right here. I think Trump is absolutely right that if we cannot stop this and we have to stop it in November, then there will be no stopping it. And just let me throw this out there. If it wasn't Trump, who would it be? I mean, do you really think that Ron DeSantis could have stood up to the machine and to the attacks that are coming from the left? I don't know. All right, let's go back to the phones. I want to talk to Johnny in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM. Now, Johnny, I understand you disagree with me, so what's the problem? What is your issue?
My issue is with the wording. Now, Todd, I don't know where you went to school at, but he didn't say he said they. And if he meant him, he should have said he is an animal, not they are an animal. They cover everyone. And by the way, where were you at and where was Trump at when Ahmaud Arbery got killed? Didn't hear nothing from. He got killed by legal aliens. Didn't hear nothing from you or Trump, either one.
What are you talking about? Who are you talking about, Johnny? I have no idea who you're talking about.
I know you don't. I know you
don't. No, I just told you, Johnny. So, I just told you. I don't know who you're talking about.
You know who Ahmaud Arbery is.
Johnny, I just told you I don't know who he is, so why don't you tell us who he is, Johnny, instead of being a jerk about it?
He is the black guy that got killed in Savannah, Georgia, by them legal aliens that shot him down like a dog. You know exactly who he is. But anyway, your show is one of the most lying shows that it is.
And yet, here you are listening to it.
Huh?
And yet, here you are listening to it. So, Johnny, you have yet to explain to me what, first of all, Johnny, if you want to get into semantics, you're the one who's lying because I genuinely do not know who this person is you're talking about. So, but I want to get back to what Trump said. Trump was talking in context, Johnny, about these illegal aliens who are coming across this border and are killing our people. Do you believe that the person who beat Lake and Riley to death is an animal? Yes or no?
No, I do not.
You don't?
He's
all right.
Person, just like everybody else. Well, them guys that killed Ahmaud Arbery, they are animals. If you classify him as an animal, then they're animals. Say they're animals.
Johnny, I have no idea. Johnny, Johnny, you and I need to have an agreement here on this. We're talking about Lake and Riley right now. We're not talking about whoever got shot or killed or whatever happened to this person in Savannah. I feel very bad for that person. I don't know anything about that. And we're not talking about that now. We're talking about Lake and Riley. So you just said that you don't believe the person who beat her to death is an animal.
No, he's a human being just like you. No, he made a terrible decision to do it, and it was a bad decision. But the guys that killed Ahmaud Arbery, he didn't classify them as
okay.
Animals.
You see, and Johnny, we're going to stop you because, Johnny, I'm not sure what the problem here is. Am I not being clear? Is that the issue? I'm not being clear? I just told you we're not going to talk about that, Johnny.
You lie more than anybody.
You haven't explained. How have I lied? What is the lie, Johnny? How have I lied?
The first lie you told, that the person that done the shooting in Texas, they were a transvestite, which was
what are you talking about?
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
No,
next lie you told.
All right, Johnny. Johnny, I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to help you attack me, and you're not being very helpful because you're not coming armed with any facts. What are you talking about?
I'm doing real good. The second lie you told was that you cannot support a person that support abortion. Trump was going to put a 15-week ban on abortion. You lied about that. The third thing you lied about, Todd, and your media lied all the time, your show does. The third thing that you lied about, Todd, was the little girl that got beat. She was white. No, she was black. And if you didn't know that, you would have never even.
Who are you talking? What in the world are you talking about? You're just spewing nonsense here. If I'm understanding you here, the person involved in the shooting at the Lakewood Church, and again, Johnny, you have to have specifics. So if you're going to come onto this program and you want to attack me, you've got to come armed with facts and specific facts. I have no idea what you're talking about, but I will say this. I'm just going to speculate here that you're referring to the Lakewood Church here. This was Joel Osteen's church, where a transgender terrorist opened fire, and I believe a child was killed. So I suspect that's what you're talking about. But again, the person's a transgender activist. I don't know what you want me to say about it. Johnny, got to go. Good luck to you. Give us a call back when you get your facts together. And again, folks, it's not a matter of, look, I don't want to talk to conservatives all day. We certainly want to talk to leftists. But you've got to come onto the program armed with the facts. And that's the issue. I mean, if Johnny wants to call me a liar, he could do that. But he's got to provide the evidence. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Brian in Georgia. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, how's it going? Two things. One, why do the Democrats keep asking the Republicans to pass a bill to enforce the laws at the border? Number two, since when did a river become a port of entry? Why can't these people go to a regular border port of entry? Tijuana has one. There are other places in Arizona that have them. Why did the river become a port of entry? And then my last point.
Okay, I have no idea what you're talking about here. So what are you talking about? What river are we talking about here?
Eagles Pass.
Okay. So you're talking about the river. So, yes, ports of entry, you know, so if you've got a seaport, that port can be a port of entry, much like an airport can be a port of entry. So if you're coming from another country into America, you can do that at a seaport. You can do it at an airport.
Right. So when did the river become a port of entry?
Well, I have no earthly idea. Yeah, I don't know. So what is your point, though? What point are you trying to make here, Brian?
Why are the Democrats fighting Congress Republicans to pass a bill to enforce the law in Texas?
I don't know, Brian. I do not have an answer to your question. Appreciate the call, though. 901-260-5926 is our number. We'll be right back. All right. We have have a new name to throw out there. Rumblings now that Sarah Huckabee Sanders may be in the mix for President Trump's vice presidential running mate. What do you think about Sarah Sanders for the gig? Also, Ron DeSantis now being named as well. Newsmax, by the way, conducting a national poll, and they want to know who you think Trump ought to pick. You can vote by taking out your smartphone, texting the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747. They will send you a link to the poll. Again, that is SKIP to 39747, and you will be able to share your opinion on who President Trump should pick as his running mate. So we'll keep you posted on that. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. By the way, an interesting thing happened in Wisconsin. The mayor, a Democrat, has been defeated by a Republican. This is fascinating because Biden won Wausau, Wisconsin by 8% in 2020. The Democrat mayor was taken down by a 4.3% margin. Cut 18, please.
Oh, I'm Katie Rosenberg, and I'm the mayor of Wausau, Wisconsin. I think the number one job of our cities is to make sure that we are exuding that welcoming behavior that we would like to see. So my goal here is to be as welcoming as possible. And one of the things we did when we started accepting new refugees, we realized, oh my gosh, we don't really have a lot of Dari speakers or Pashto speakers or whatever other language. So we got access to a quick language app. So if anybody in the city encounters somebody that they need to talk to, we're able to call up a translator immediately, show the phone, and have a good conversation back and forth. So that's one way that we are able to quickly make sure that everyone understands what we're doing.
All right, that was the mayor. I'm not sure what that was all about. But Mayor Rosenberg now out of a job. There you go. Oh, by the way, McDonald's very upset over the customers, rather, very upset over rising prices. And in some places, the Big Mac now going for $18. Like I told you about my trip to the supermarket the other day, where a bag of Fritos, a bag half full of Fritos, the other half filled with air, going for over $5. I think a $5.69, $5.64. Anyway, cut 13.
McDonald's, you come sit your trifling behind down. Who told y'all was that good to be charging that much for y'all food? Y'all supposed to be good for the price.
McDonald's is acknowledging it's time to put affordability back on the menu and add more options to its dollar menu. Its stock took a hit this week after the fast food giant reported a recent drop in visits by its key customers who make $45,000 a year or less. And a lot of people have taken to social media to complain about it.
This is $3 worth of food. This hash brown, which I think used to be two for a dollar. This, for reference, is a potato, which you can get 4 to 5 pounds of these for $3, $4. Something doesn't seem right here.
People go to McDonald's because it's fast, it's reliable, and it's affordable. And for many Americans right now, they're saying that's just not the case. Prices for a hash brown are $3, quarter pounder with cheese, a meal, $12.80 in Brooklyn, New York. And in Darien, Connecticut, a Big Mac meal is $18. They have said that they've had to raise prices by 10%, and that is largely because of food costs.
All right. Well, there. I mean, look, what do you want these fast food restaurants to do? I mean, at some point, ladies and gentlemen, they've got to be able to pay their bills. Well, they're just making way too much money. They're making way too much profit. Really? Well, okay, who decides in this country how much is too much? It seems to me that you should want to make as much money as you possibly can make. Now, what you do with that money is your decision, and many times that is guided by whatever value system you were raised with or whatever value system you have. But it's not the government's responsibility to step in and say, well, McDonald's can only make so much money. Can't do that. And so when the government comes in and tells, you know, places like McDonald's, well, you've got to raise your minimum wage to $20 an hour. Well, you know what's going to happen? They're going to stop selling the dollar value menu because they can't afford to do that and stay in business. I mean, it really is that simple. Let's go to Angie. in Georgia. WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hi, Angie. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, I just wanted to ask a couple of questions, Todd, and you're going to get crazy phone calls. We don't know if it's because of the solar eclipse, but that Johnny guy that called in is what is the main problem in the United States. And I'm not sure if I'm on the topic because I turned the radio off, but when Lincoln Riley got killed, she was killed 20 minutes from where we live in Athens, Georgia. And whether they're criminals, whether they're crazy people, this guy was a criminal. It doesn't matter what color, race, religion, whatever. He killed her for no reason, first of all. So my question to you is, do you feel with all these Democrats and all these radical left people that the United States is becoming an actual lawless nation?
Yes. Yes, I do, Angie. And I say that because even as you and I are speaking, we just announced 79 people shot, many people killed in Memphis just last month. And there's a high speed chase and you've got a wrecked patrol car right now in Memphis. So, yeah, I think we are living in a I think we're already living in a lawless nation.
And I had one more quick question, and I know you're on a time frame, but we listen to Mike Gallagher and we listen to you religiously every day. You are our go-to. If people do not like to hear the word conservative Christian, change the channel, first of all. Second of all, Mike Gallagher just put on the news, which you need to fact check because I haven't had time to. They're fixing to allow all criminals in the justice system, whether they've committed murder, killed children, whatever it is, they're going to allow them to vote. Now, back when I was growing up, if you had a criminal record, you lost all your rights to everything.
So you're saying, yeah, I don't listen to Gallagher, so I don't know where he got that information. I know that one state in particular is considering it, but I haven't heard any other information about that. But I do want to address your other question. I love that liberals listen to this program because we talk about the truth. We talk about absolute truth on this show. And I really believe that some of these guys and gals, if they listen with an attentive heart, that they will undergo a political transformation and they might come to the right way of thinking. And I understand what you know, Johnny calling in, and I get that. But I think that even someone like Johnny with a hardened leftist heart can be brought back to the right side of thinking.
I do too. We're so scared to even leave the house because everything's just upside down. And back in the day when I grew up in Memphis in the 70s, the commercials would always be crime doesn't pay. Now I live in Georgia and it says crime pays. Go out and do whatever you want to do.
Big time it pays. Angie, you're absolutely right. And this is happening in every major city in America, and it's starting to trickle into smaller towns and communities in the suburbs as well. So we've got, look, this is a triple whammy. We've got inflation, we've got crime, you have the open border. You put all three of those together, and you've got a toxic, toxic political climate for the Democrats.
And if we don't get this Republican Party back in November, I just believe the United States is going to be blown to oblivion. So, I pray every day for these radicals that just think that they're blindsided and doesn't see, you know, the inflation and the abortion and killing babies. If you don't believe in God, that's fine. That's your business. That's between you and God. But don't come on a radio show where conservative Christians are and raise Cain about stuff you're mumbling about that you don't even understand. And apparently I agree with you, them calling in, and we need to pray for them that they do change their heart. But as far as all this lawlessness goes, we as Republicans all need to stick together and get this country back. And Trump is the only one that can do that. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, I've contacted her. She's the one that's trying to help get the laws changed in the state of Georgia.
Angie, let me jump in there because we are up against the break here. So I appreciate you calling in. Folks, gonna run. But again, we welcome all opinions on this radio program. I mean, mine is obviously correct, but we still want to hear from other people, right? So, again, you heard Johnny. He doesn't believe that the guy who beat Lake and Riley to death is an animal and should be or should be classified as an animal. What say you? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Head over to our website, toddstearns.com. Get yourself a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. By the way, coming up this weekend, going to be in Los Angeles. I'm speaking at four or five different events. We're doing book signings all over Los Angeles, then off to Phoenix on Monday, and Tuesday and Wednesday we will be broadcasting the show live from Wichita and our affiliate there, KQAM. We're doing a big book celebration party and hope to see you there. So I'd love to see you guys out there as we hit the road this weekend to promote the book. Well, excited to announce that Senator Marsha Blackburn has filed her petition for re-election. She is my senator, and I'm proud to say that. Also, one of the people who endorsed my new book, and she is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Senator Blackburn, hope you're doing well today.
I am doing well today. I am in beautiful Memphis working today, and Todd, I've got to say, your book is absolutely fantastic, and I was so pleased to add my endorsement.
Well, thank you for that, Senator. I really appreciate it. And if I'd known you were in Memphis, you should have just swung by the station. We could have rolled out the red carpet for you. But I know you're very busy out here in Western Tennessee.
Yes, indeed, we are. And as you mentioned, we got our papers filed this week to run for re-election to the Senate, and excited about that. And it's always an honor to have the ability to represent Tennesseans and to have that opportunity. And, you know, we're asking for another 6-year term.
Well, I think it's incredibly well deserved, and I really think that you've set a great example for senators all across the country. Of taking care of business back in the state. I see you're all over the state. A lot of people don't realize how large Tennessee is. You're actually closer to the Canadian border in Bristol, Tennessee than you are Memphis. So there's a lot of ground to cover, and you're out there and you're doing it. And it's clear to me it's very important for you to be there and to visit your constituents.
Well, it is indeed. We are in each county in this state every year. And hearing firsthand from mayors and county mayors and city mayors, and looking at what they need and asking those questions, how do we best help and serve you, and what do you need us to be doing at the federal level? Because representing people is a local, state, and federal team sport, and you have to work together to meet the needs of people. And, of course, looking at the issues in front of us, with the border being wide open, with crime being on the rise in so many communities, with gangs coming into neighborhoods and communities that have never seen gangs, people are talking a lot about security. They're also talking a lot about inflation, and they want us to work together and get some things done.
Senator, you mentioned crime, and I know the new mayor, Paul Young, in Memphis, held a national gathering of black mayors to talk about crime. We don't have a lot of intel. It was all done behind closed doors. But we do know that the mayor actually met with gang leaders and tried to reach some sort of an agreement where maybe they could help, you know, cut back on the crime. And yet numbers coming out that as many as 79 people were shot last month just in Memphis. What do you tell the good people, the hardworking people of Memphis, Tennessee, who just want to be able to let their kids go to the playground without getting shot?
Yes, and I know that Mayor Young has addressing the crime issue as his top priority. And I've had the opportunity to visit with him, meet with him, and look forward to working with him to see a reduction in crime. And one of the pieces of legislation that I have filed is keep violent criminals off our streets. And that is a great piece of legislation that actually would put an end to many of these cashless bail policies. These are detrimental. They are things that are allowing violent repeat offenders to be released and to be out on the streets. And, you know, Todd, this is something that we have got to put an end to. When people are violent offenders, they need to be locked up. And, you know, it's the old three strikes and you're out rule. These repeat offenders need to be released and be put out on the streets.
Senator Marsha Blackburn is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Of course, you know, looking at the big picture, it is imperative that we retake the Senate and we maintain control of the House and take back the White House. The border, of course, is the number one issue on everybody's minds. I know you've been down there. What can you tell us about the latest? What did you see down at the border?
Yes, when I was there last week, Todd, I went into Eagle Pass. I'd been there the year before. And when you were in Eagle Pass in 2023, they were seeing about 1,000 crossings a day. And they were being overrun with people by the thousands. And now they've got about 12 crossings a day. Here's the difference. They took the initiative through the Texas Department of Public Safety. They put buoys in the river. They put containers at the water's edge. They did fencing. They did razor wire. And because of that, what you have seen is they've been able to secure their border. And Eagle Pass is not being overrun by illegal aliens at this point. So they wanted me to come down to see the difference. And my legislation, the Container Act, gives local and state entities the ability to move forward and secure their borders when the federal government does not do so. So that is what I saw. And, of course, we know the numbers at the border writ large across the border have picked up because they know Joe Biden is going to lose this election in November, and so they continue to rush the border. And this is why it's important to keep the National Guard on that border to provide that deterrence that is needed. It is why we need to pass the Container Act. It's why local and state entities need the ability to secure their border when the federal government has let them down.
You know, Senator Bill Hagerty, and we are blessed with two awesome senators here in Tennessee. I heard him say recently that one of the big challenges here is, you know, they're putting these illegals in states and relocating them, and that could lead to more congressional seats for places like California, Illinois, and New York. And of course, Senator, the plans are that they're going to be dropping what more illegals in what Williamson County in Middle Tennessee.
Yes, and we continue to hear this. You know, Senator Hagerty and I had legislation that would require the federal government to notify local and state authorities if they were going to position people in their communities to give them notice. And, of course, the Democrats don't want to have to take a vote on that bill, Todd, and they are trying to push people into these blue areas that are losing population. You know, look at places like Chicago and New York, California that lost 770,000 people last year, and a congressional district is 840,000. So, of course, this is what they are doing. And what we are saying is, look, it is going to be vitally important that we make certain that these individuals are not counted for apportionment, that they are going to be, that you are going to have to make that difference and not count them when it comes to seats for Congress and therefore the Electoral College.
It's, I mean, it makes so much sense. And I'm so glad that you and Senator Hagerty are alerting people to that and doing something about it, which, again, is why it's so important that we get you back to the U.S. Senate this fall. Senator, we always yes. appreciate you, and we wish you the very best luck out on the campaign trail. And whatever we can do, we're happy to stand alongside you.
Well, Todd, thank you so much. And people can go to MarshaBlackburn.com, and they can support me in my campaign, and they can keep up with what we're doing out on the campaign trail. And I look forward to hearing from them and joining you again. Thanks so much. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Senator. Senator Marsha Blackburn, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. By the way, she also has an awesome Instagram feed. And if you haven't been on her feed, she does. She's actually a very accomplished chef as well as being a great senator. And she does the recipes and the cooking. It's all very good. And actually tried out a couple of the recipes. It's good stuff. So Senator Marsha Blackburn running for reelection. And here's what I love about Senator Blackburn. She doesn't take anything for granted. We are a majority, a supermajority red state, but she is out there campaigning in every single county. More importantly, when she tells you she's going to do something, she does it. And that is something that I completely respect. And not to mention the fact that she endorsed my book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, and we really appreciated that. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern Radio Show. Good to have you with us. So you got to listen to this guy. Folks, I'm telling you, TDS is a real thing. It's Trump derangement syndrome. There is no known cure at all. We can check with our friends at the wellness company, but I don't think there's a cure for this. Cut 22.
Are you kidding me, law enforcement? Are you kidding me? Tonight in Grand Rapids, multiple law enforcement officers stood behind Donald Trump as he spoke. People that are elected officials like sheriffs, others hired to protect and enforce the law for the entire citizenry, not for a political party. Explicitly forbidden from being a partisan authoritarian police force, standing on stage, entirely unethical, probably illegal, on top of which Donald Trump has been indicted 91 times. He's liable for sexual assault. His entire business was found to be fraudulent. And law enforcement has the gall to stand on stage with him. Enough is enough.
Can we get the guy a sedative? And maybe cut back on the caffeine, dude. That's not healthy. That's not healthy at all. This story from our friends at Libs of TikTok. So there is a fried chicken chain, and things are not going well. The name of the fried chicken place, this is in Huntington, West Virginia. And the fried chicken chain is called Crispy with two I's. I think that's the millennial spelling. So anyway, the manager of the fried chicken chain, who is black, and it is a black-owned fried chicken joint, is very upset because apparently, well, things are not going well. Take a listen, cut number 20.
What was supposed to be a positive development in the heart of Huntington has turned into controversy after accusations of racism and discrimination went viral on social media.
We're talking about Crispy's Chicken. It's a restaurant owned by NFL Hall of Famer Randy Moss. But as 13 News reporter Jordan Mead tells us, the manager of the restaurant says the community isn't supporting the business, and he claims it has nothing to do with the food.
The original video.
Great energy, great food. You know, Randy Moss took his time out, invested his money.
That sparked it all.
But since we've been here for the past few months, it has been nothing but negativity from the community not supporting.
That's the manager of Crispy's Chicken, a fast food restaurant in Huntington. In the video posted just last week, he lashes out at the community, saying their criticism goes beyond the food and service.
the entire community is filled with negativity. Being an African American company, this is what we deal with on a regular basis. Unfortunate, you know, we're not the other color, which is unfortunate to you guys, because if we were the other color, I'm sure it'd be a lot more respect.
After the backlash from his post, the manager, who would only tell us his first name, called out a local host of a podcast to do an interview.
We tried to be positive and have a positive effect on the community, but it just wasn't having it.
But from that interview came more controversy.
What did our community do? They tore us down, like they always do. The African-American community, we are known to tear each other down. The Chinese is not known for it. The Europeans, nobody else is known for it.
That's something that Talk Huntington host David Williams, who goes by the on-air name of Alligator Jackson, says he tried to de-escalate while addressing complaints. 13 News spoke to Kurt today. He doubled down on his statements.
Anybody that misunderstood what I said on that video, you have to think. It was clear as day what I said. It was clear. It was clear that that's what African America's been going through for centuries. It's clear. But you know what these people did on that post? They took it and made it a race thing. That's what they did. They made it a black and white thing. And for me, if you felt like it was a race thing, then some, in my opinion, it hits your heart. So maybe it is a little bit of racism within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it touched you that much, that must be you.
Wow. So I guess the people there in Huntington really love their fried chicken. I'm just going to go out on a limb here, and maybe the problem is the chicken's not good. Has anybody really thought about that? So the story, that was the Eyewitness News report, and the story goes into great detail. So the reason why people are, there are a couple of big issues. First of all, apparently, all of the black staffers were fired. And in response to that, the black manager said, well, they couldn't handle the pressure. So maybe it could be a managerial issue. I'm just saying. But here's the bigger issue, and this is what really set people off. And Dylan, this is going to set you off. They don't serve ketchup.
Yeah, I'm not going.
Well, you're a racist.
Yes.
So I know you love ketchup, but they do not serve ketchup, and also no cash. So you can't go and pay for your wings, your two piece. You can't do that if you don't have a credit card. So there you go. My condolences. I would recommend, I don't know, KFC, Popeyes. But what was the guy bringing up the Chinese for? What have they done? What are they doing? Come on, dude. I'm shocked the manager is apparently the only person still employed by the fried chicken joint. So there you go. Randy Moss, but that's his hometown, by the way, Huntington, West Virginia. So you kind of feel bad for Randy Moss, but maybe Randy Moss ought to be taking more of a hands-on role. But they're all very upset about this. Jeez, hello. He doesn't like you white. You know, maybe the problem is people are going in and they're ordering the two-piece white meat. And, you know, that could be problematic. Whatever you do, don't ask for ketchup. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Folks, one of the things that that I love about you guys is that we've got conservatives out there who are not afraid to go on places like CNN and MSDNC. They're not afraid to get out there and go toe-to-toe with the leftist. And this just happened on CNN. Take a listen.
But when he says these immigrants are animals, they're not humans, what does that suggest? I mean, isn't that brutal? Shouldn't people be condemning that?
I listened to the entire tape.
He was specifically talking about the person who murdered Lakin Riley in Georgia. And to be honest with you, Wolf, if somebody murders another human being, I think they deserve to be called animals. And I don't think any American is really going to reject that kind of rhetoric. That poor girl was murdered in cold blood. Is that person who did it not an animal? I think that's an apt term.
So you think he was only referring to those murderers, not referring in general to illegal immigrants who are coming into the United States?
I listened to the tape. That's exactly what he was talking about, in my opinion.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. So Scott Jennings over at CNN actually weighing in and saying, hey, look, that's not what Trump was talking about. Now, the broader question, and this is the question that Scott Jennings should have asked Wolf Blitzer, is that, Wolf, do you believe that the guy who brutally beat Lakin Riley to death is an animal? Do you believe he is human? That's the question that should have been asked, because Wolf at that time would have actually said, I think he would have answered the question. He would have said just what Johnny said. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe someone like that is an animal. I believe that person is a human. I don't know of any human who can actually go out there and take another life. Those two people to me are not human. They are animals. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. But again, it is imperative that all of us pay attention to the drive-bys, because they are out there with an agenda and with a narrative. And they will not deviate from that. But we're going to call them out every single time. Now, have you heard about this story involving Sage Steele? Have you heard that Sage Steele did the interview with Joe Biden during her time at ESPN. She's no longer there. And she said that when she did the interview, that the entire thing was scripted. She was not allowed to deviate from the script. She could not ask Biden a question that had not been previously approved. Cut 19.
Here as we get set for a wonderful day in sports. Opening day for America's national pastime.
This was about 2 months after he took office. That was an interesting experience in its own right, because it was so structured, and I was told, you will say every word that we write out. You will not deviate from the script, and go to the word. Like, every single question was scripted, gone over dozens of times by many executives, editors and executives. Absolutely. I was on script and was told not to deviate. It was very much, this is what you will ask. This is how you will say it. No follow-ups. Next. I knew that this was a lot bigger than just the wonderful editors that I worked with. This went up to the fourth floor, as we said, that where all the bosses, the top executives, the decision makers are, the president of our company, the CEO, where they all work.
All right. So Sage Steele got booted from ESPN after she criticized the company's China virus mandate. You know, they made everybody get the clot shot. And she also had some unkind things to say about former President Barack Hussein Obama. And, of course, that at ESPN, I mean, that's the death sentence right there. But here's what I find fascinating about this. And you know, you guys know that we have had President Donald John Trump on this program many, many times. Not a single time did the Trump team say, all right, Todd, here are the prepared questions that you are allowed by us to ask President Trump. That's never happened. It's always, what do you want to talk about? Okay, that's it. We have not once have we ever been told to stay away from an issue, or that President Trump would prefer not to talk about this. That's never happened. President Trump, whenever he comes on this program, he is always happy to answer whatever questions that we might have. And he doesn't get the questions in advance. He's ready to go. So my question is, what's going on at the White House where everything has to be carefully scripted? That you're not allowed to call on reporters unless they've been vetted. What's up with that? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, many of you might remember this name, David French. Now, David French used to be a pretty strong conservative voice. Then Trump came along, and the guy completely lost his mind. And it's really sad. I used to like David French. As a matter of fact, the guy actually announced he was running for president. You remember that? He had this delusional idea that he could be the next president of the United States. And, of course, it did not work out. But I was one of the people who defended the guy. I mean, he's not at the time he wasn't a horrible person, but now he's a horrible person. I mean, this guy's totally sold out. And he was on MSDNC talking about Donald Trump and blasting all of you Christians out there that took issue with the whole transgender visibility thing. Cut number eight.
David, but yet on this day after Easter, we're looking at a whole weekend of these types of upside down realities where Trump takes yes. reality, twists it, and throws it against his people. I have to ask, though, about the people who have the means, whether it be leadership positions, financial means, educational means, who could, if they were invited or if they donated, go to Mar-a-Lago on a Saturday night and then go to church and celebrate Jesus's love on a Sunday morning.
Well, you know, what we saw on Easter Sunday was a remarkable display of venom and hatred. I mean, really to the point, Mika, where you're right to wonder, is he okay? And we know the answer is no, he's not okay. But what's even more disturbing than that venom and hatred on Easter Sunday itself was the buildup of Holy Week. It featured Trump sharing posts where he compared himself, calling a post where a supporter compared him to Jesus and the trials he faces in court in New York to the trials Jesus faced is a beautiful post. He's selling Bibles. And then, you know, the sad thing is this isn't just confined to Trump anymore. We used to be able to say, or used to try to comfort ourselves by saying, well, Donald Trump is the bad guy. And then there's just so many good people who are fooled. And there are still good people who are fooled by him. But it's become increasingly clear that Trumpism and that Trump ethic is really leaking into American Christianity itself. As we saw during Holy Week, Christians all over Twitter were posting Christ is King, specifically aimed at Jewish Americans, specifically aimed to assert religious dominance in a very gross and ugly way. And we're seeing this just leak out, Mika, and it is very distressing. But even more than that, it is very dangerous.
So a lot to unpack there with David French. So first of all, we believe that Jesus Christ is King. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I do not know of a single person in my circles of influence that would ever use that as a slur against Jewish people. And I'm not quite sure why it would add up to be a slur, but it's not. It's the truth. Jesus, if you are a Christian, you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, this other stuff, and hear me on this. If they had the opportunity, and if we were still doing crucifixions, you don't think the Democrats would want to crucify Donald Trump? Because that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to destroy this man. They are literally trying to destroy this man. They are literally trying to crucify Donald Trump. It is a very, I think it's a pretty accurate and very visible and descriptive example of what this man has been going through. They hate this man. They want to destroy him. They want to take away everything he's ever created in his life. They want him to be homeless. They want him to be imprisoned. They want to destroy his children. I mean, they were even going after little Baron Trump, who is 6'8" tall. He is big Baron Trump. They were going after all of them. So I can't wait to get the reaction to what Trump had to say about all of this yesterday when President Trump weighed in on the whole Trans Visibility Day scandal. Cut four.
In a few hours. And November 5th, we are going to win this state. We're going to win the White House, and we are going to save our country. We're going to save our country. And what the hell was Biden thinking when he declared Easter Sunday to be Trans Visibility Day? Such total disrespect to Christians. And November 5th is going to be called something else. You know what it's going to be called? Christian Visibility Day, when Christians turn out in numbers that nobody has ever seen.
I love it. Could you imagine what he's calling Election Day, Christian Visibility Day? I love that. Imagine what would happen if all of you Christians out there living in the shadows, living in fear of the media, living in fear of the deep state. Imagine what would happen if all you Christians out there decided to remove your invisibility cloaks and actually get out and vote on Election Day. It would be a massive landslide victory. Hands down. But I want to go back to something else Trump said yesterday, and I want to get your take on this. Trump says if we don't win on November 5th, the country is done. It's going to cease to exist. Cut number three.
Because if we don't win on November 5th, I think our country is going to cease to exist. It could be the last election we ever have. I actually mean that. We don't win. I think this could be the last election we ever have. That's where our country is going.
Do you believe that? Do you have that concern? Do you share that concern with Donald Trump? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. Good to have you with us. Have you heard about what's happening at the University of California at Berkeley? So they run one of these community farms, and they grow all sorts of crops there. You got the rutabagas, the kumquats, I guess, lettuce, tomato, carrots. But the problem is that on Saturdays, only farmers of color are allowed to access the garden. So if you are a white person, you are not allowed to farm in the University of California at Berkeley community farm. Now, all of this is documented in a new federal complaint that's been filed alleging racial discrimination against white folk. Berkeley says the garden is actually focused on ecological farming and food justice. The manager of the garden defended the rule. They say that the garden is supposed to be a safe and sacred space for farmers of color. The College Fix reported on all of this, and they say there are actually other university-run garden programs that have been overrun by the diversity, equity, and inclusion weeds. San Diego State University spent $250,000 to build a racial healing garden. But there was a big problem. Nobody ever used the racial healing garden. And the University of Michigan hired a full-time DEI manager to run its botanical garden, because apparently that's a thing. So look, here's my take on this, ladies and gentlemen. It seems to me if black farmers are allowed to hoe, then white farmers should be able to hoe as well. It's America. You should be able to hoe in your garden. Not the biblical hoe, but the garden tool. I'm just saying. This is nuts. I have a question for you. The economy, it's in the toilet. We were talking about this yesterday. And I want to play some audio. This is from a young lady. She's 29 years old. And she's very popular on TikTok. She is single and she is broke and doesn't really know what to do. Cut 14.
As a single 29-year-old woman, I have three jobs. And I'm still struggling, and I'm just getting myself farther and farther into credit card debt because I don't have enough after the first of the month to avoid using it. Full-time job. not doing it. Got a second job. It's barely doing it. The third job, hit or miss if I even get paid on time. I don't know if any industry is doing well right now. I used to be a server. I used to have all this cash every night whenever I would work, walk out with cash. And I don't have that anymore. And I don't even know if they're doing okay right now. Like, I have seriously considered quitting my full-time good job to go back to serving. Because at least I can have, I can just use my personality and try to get more money than minimum wage or what an entry-level job pays people nowadays. It's sick.
All right. Well, a lot to unravel there. What does she mean she uses her personality to pick up some extra cash on the side? Sounds like she's been down to the UC Berkeley garden. So, look, here's the deal. First of all, I feel bad for this person. She's 29 years old. She's single. Most people by that age are married, and they're working on, you know, a baby or two. And there's a spouse. But here's what I don't get. I'm curious. She says she's got a full-time, she has a full-time job, and then she has two other jobs. Well, even based on minimum wage of $15 an hour, you should be able to make ends meet. So my question is, what is she doing with all the money? And by the way, where does she live? Does she have a budget? Are you finding people in this age bracket? And again, I don't know all the circumstances here, but it seems to me if she's got three jobs and she is still broke and she can't afford to pay rent or anything else, that to me is a budgeting problem, and it is not a problem of any other sort except that she is not budgeting her money. And maybe, just maybe, instead of going to Whole Foods, Whole Foods. Maybe instead of going to Whole Foods, you got to go to, I don't know, a cheaper grocery store. Maybe instead of eating avocado toast for breakfast, you just eat toast, plain white toast. Some of you will get that reference. But I'm wondering, are you seeing this from your 29 years? Are you in your 20s? Are you having a hard time making ends meet? Give us a call. Does this woman have a point? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. And thank you so much. So many of you have already purchased a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? I am so, so thankful. We still have plenty of books available. Right now, Amazon still sold out, but Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, they've got plenty. You can go to their store. You can also go to their websites and order. And if you would like a signed copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, I would be honored to do that for you. Just go to toddstarnes.com and click on the store tab at the top of the page, and we'll be able to get you a copy of the book. But we're just so thankful, especially to Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. They support conservative authors, and they love conservatives. I was talking to the manager of the Wolf Chase Galleria, Barnes & Noble. Those of you living in the Memphis area, I would encourage you to drop by and visit with the manager and say thank you, because they have a huge supply of our books. And she told me flat out they just so much enjoy meeting people who are conservative, and especially conservative authors who drop by. So it's important for us to get out there and to show our support to those bookstores that actually are tolerant enough and diverse enough to host both liberal and conservative authors. And certainly in Memphis, you guys are blessed with a couple of great stores. You've got two Barnes & Noble stores, and then you have the Books A Million. We're going to be doing a book signing in South Haven, Mississippi at the Books A Million in a couple of weeks, so we'll be telling you more about that as we get closer to that date. I want to go back and replay this audio. I was listening to it originally. Ben Dieter, the morning show host, the award-winning morning show host at KWAM, sent this to me, and it's a fascinating piece of audio. This young woman, 29 years old, single and broke, and I have a couple of questions for this person. First of all, I'd be curious to know who she voted for in the presidential election. That will tell me a lot about who this individual is. But I'm curious to hear from you and any advice you might have for young people who are in their early 20s, late 20s, early 30s, who are starting out, and because of Bidenomics, they can't afford to buy a house right now. They can't afford to buy a lot of nice things. They're having a hard time making ends meet. Maybe you've been through those tough times, those lean years. And what advice would you give these young people in their 20s who are starting out their life, much like many of you did back when Jimmy Carter was president and the economy was in the toilet, and many of you had a hard time? So let's listen to this this young lady. She's a very popular host over on TikTok. Cut 14.
As a single 29-year-old woman, I have three jobs, and I'm still struggling, and I'm just getting myself farther and farther into credit card debt because I don't have enough after the first of the month to avoid using it. Full-time job. Not doing it. Got a second job. It's barely doing it. The third job. Hit or miss if I even get paid on time. I don't know if any industry is doing well right now. I used to be a server. I used to have all this cash every night whenever I would work, walk out with cash. And I don't have that anymore. And I don't even know if they're doing okay right now. Like, I have seriously considered quitting my full-time good job to go back to serving. Because at least I can just use my personality and try to get more money than minimum wage or what an entry-level job pays people nowadays. It's sick.
Well, it's a tough economy. I heard her right out of the gate talking about her credit cards. That to me is problem number one, is that if you are using credit cards to live your life, then you're setting yourself up for failure, and you can't do that. But I'm curious, what advice would you give these young people, like this woman who says she works three jobs and she is still broke? She is also single. By the way, I was watching this video. This cracked me up. And I thought about, well, we should play the audio, but it's really a great video. And it's from the 1940s, 1950s. And it's an illustration of how young men and how young women should behave on dates. And Dylan, I don't know why I thought about you on this, but I thought about you because you're getting married very soon. And I thought this was fascinating, and I'm curious to get your take on this. So first of all, when they show up at the restaurant, the young man is in a suit and a tie. He's taking this girl out for dinner, and he pulls the chair out and allows her to sit down, and then he pushes the chair in. And then he takes a seat. And it's interesting, when they look at the menu, the young man says, and this is fascinating, so that because you've got to try to figure out, okay, she's about to order, but she's probably wondering, well, how much money does this guy have? Right? Should I order the lobster or should I get toast? I mean, you don't know. So the whole point of this video is to help young people learn how to date and how they should behave on a date. So, Dylan, I mean, you're loaded with cash. So,
oh, you're funny.
So you can, you know, you're out at Red Lobster and you're getting like Uncle Walt's, you know, the delicious fried shrimp.
Mm-hmm. The biscuits.
The Cheddar Bay biscuits, delicious.
Can't forget about those.
And they have a lot of ketchup. You can order ketchup.
Plenty of ketchup.
So anyway, in the video, it explains that what the young man does is you basically want to set the levels for the date. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you look at whatever your level of spending is, and this guy was ready to go all out. He actually pointed out, I hear they have a delicious deluxe cheeseburger on the menu, and that's like the highest price point on the menu. Mm-hmm. So that tells the girl, oh, this guy's got money. But also, I know where my spending limit is. So if I wanted a steak, well, I probably can't order. I shouldn't order the steak.
Yeah.
So then she says, oh, I think I'll have the chicken salad. By the way, that deluxe burger, 65 cents. 65 cents.
Better times.
So then the waitress comes, and this is fascinating. Back in the day, and any of our old timers around, you can verify if this is actually the way it worked. But according to the video, at that point, when you hear what your date wants, you actually present the order to the waitress.
Mm, yeah.
Well, I'll have the deluxe burger with fries and a big old tub of ketchup. And the little lady here, well, she'll have the chicken salad and two glasses of milk, please. He ordered two glasses of milk. I'm not too sure the burger and the milk is, I'm not sure that's a good combo.
No. That's a lot of dairy.
It's all way too much. Way too much. So then they order and they eat the meal, and then the guy helps her up afterwards, and he pays for the meal, and then he leaves a little tip on the table. And that's how you do it back in the day. But I'm curious to know, and I was reading a lot of the comments thinking that people are, well, how dare he? Who does he think he is ordering for the woman? And honestly, I was shocked by the number of women who said, man, I sure do wish guys acted like that today. Chivalry.
If you know what she wants, why not? It makes it easier on the waiter, too.
There you go.
I take a lot of those things into my dates, I will say.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm picking the spot,
right,
I should know how much I'm able to spend. So, you know.
All right. That's good to know. And tell Connor to hang tight. We're going to get to Connor in just a moment. I want to go to Keith in North Carolina, wants to weigh in on the topic of saving. Keith, what's on your mind?
Well, Todd, thank you for taking my call. I actually find it humorous. I've got two daughters, one's 32 and one's 34. And we've had this conversation many times over the years. You don't have the money, you don't spend the money. You learn to eat beans and cornbread. You grow a garden. And if you have to, you can get your clothes at Goodwill. You turn the lights out in the house if you don't need them. In other words, you live within your boundaries. Now, if you're going out and you're eating fancy food and then you run out of money, well, that's nobody's fault but your own. Go to the store and buy it in bulk and break it down and stick it in the refrigerator or the freezer. I mean, it's not that difficult.
No, it's really not, James. And I remember growing up, you know, I was a kid growing up during the Carter years, and my dad was an electrician. So, you know, money was tight. And there were days when you had beans and cornbread, right? That was what supper was. You know, red beans and rice. There were some days where you didn't eat meat. And it was all about budgeting and making sure that you lived within your means.
Exactly. It's not that difficult. All you got to do, and if these people learn to do that, there will come a time when they'll have all the money they need, and they won't want to get out there and blow it because they knew how difficult it was for them to save up and, you know, accumulate that wealth. And it's a big difference.
James, there used to be something, or I'm sorry, Keith, there used to be something called a landline, and you weren't paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars for, you know, for these smartphones and then all the apps. You know, a lot of the kids, they've got cable or they have the apps. Maybe a lot of them may not even have cable TV anymore. They've cut the cord, but they're paying all this money for all of these apps. And I would love to be able to sit down with this person, and she's 29 years old. I guarantee you, Keith, you and I could sit down with her and we could help her come up with a budget. And I guarantee you, she actually has more money than she thinks she has.
If she's working three jobs, she definitely ought to have.
Right, exactly.
A lot of people believe that if they've got more money, they spend more money, and then they get used to that. Then one week their check is short. Oh, but I still have to spend the same amount of money. So what do? I put it on a credit card. Well, I don't have a credit card. I got rid of mine a long time ago.
There you go.
I'm going to let you go. That's all that girl has to do, though, Todd.
All right, Keith. A lot of good common sense right there. All right, folks, what do you recommend the TikTok girl do? Three jobs, 29 years old, single and broke. What advice do you give her? And ladies, do you miss the days when guys were gentlemen on the dates? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Come on now. Come on. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go to North Carolina. Dawn is hanging out with us today. Hey, Dawn, what's on your mind?
Okay, I'm 63, and my husband's 47, and he always opens my door. He opens the car door. He opens the door to the store. He pulls my chair out and stuff, and people stare at us. I even had somebody ask me, do you make him do that? What's wrong with people these days?
Wow. So your husband is just being polite. He's being a gentleman. And you're telling me that people are giving you guys the evil eye?
Yes. Yes. They act like, well, you two aren't even supposed to be together because of our age difference, too. You know, they just make a big deal out of him just being nice to me.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me at all, Dawn. I mean, good for you. Maybe the women are just jealous because you've got a guy who actually treats you like a queen.
I'm very lucky.
Well, it certainly sounds like it. Dawn, good for you, and you tell your husband to keep being chivalrous out there. So, good job. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to James in Florida, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, James. What's on your mind today?
Hello there. How are you today, Mr. Stern?
Good, good, good.
Well, congratulations. I appreciate your show, and I was just wondering how long I had to hang on this phone, but I'm very patient. But I just want to talk about this animal thing. I think that's really... talking about the animals, these people are not animals. They're like beasts in the field. They're not animals. Anytime somebody kills somebody, murders somebody, I think they are just as the scriptures say, they are beasts in human form. So I agree wholeheartedly with Brother Trump said, and I want to appreciate him. But my wife had a question to ask me. I got her, well, I didn't get her. She came to her senses because it just made sense. She said, after all what's been going on, the high this, the high that, and you got these people still want to vote for Biden. How do you reconcile that?
Well, they're morons, James. I think that's the easy answer. But it is a head scratcher.
How many of them do? Pardon?
It's a head scratcher.
It is a head scratcher. What that mean? He ought to be, they come out 40%, he ought to be down to 10%. I just don't understand the American people, but they want to argue because he killed Adam. But common sense is common sense. I said, when you vote for Biden, you vote for high taxes, you vote for high gas, high food. You got these animals come across, not all of them animals, you got some decent people that's come across the board, but like Trump said, they letting out the crooks, they letting out the people that are insane asylum. I don't know why the American people don't realize that they are in danger.
James, I would challenge them to come to Memphis, Tennessee, and try living in our town. And you know this. We're one of the most dangerous cities in America. And we are ruled by Democrats. And, James, it's beyond me why they keep putting incompetence into office.
You know, I got one more thing to say. When I come back home, my wife is looking for a house. We're going to sell one and get another. We think we might be going to Mississippi. instead of Tennessee. She, I agreed with that. I said, well, wherever you want to go, because I'm in Florida, you take care of that business. So we, when I do come back, which will probably be in June, after I fly to L.A., my daughter, oldest daughter, is getting her Ph.D. And I'm going, I got to fly to California, and I'm going to take my other daughter to go with her. She's a school teacher.
Is that right?
Math. And, well, that's my youngest one. My other one is in this entertainment business. She's been, she's one of them flamboyant kind of girls. But she got common sense, and like I told her a long time ago, you still got to bring yourself to the ground. It ain't like you're such a big deal because you into this and into that. So I want to thank you for receiving my call. And I just wanted to, I know you wrote a book, but I know you offered me a book when I first started talking to you, but I never did get it.
James, we got a we got a remedy that when you get back to Memphis, you give us a call, and we'll have to get together.
I really would appreciate that because living in Mississippi is just like living in Memphis anyway. It's just not, it's just the taxes.
Oh,
like,
well, that's about it. So, how many, and James, how many kids do you and Mrs. James have?
Well, all my children is not by my present wife. My one lives in Atlanta. She's a flamboyant one. She's into the entertainment business.
Oh.
She's a 50. She's born in California. When
okay.
I was stationed out there back in the day. And my other one is 26, and I got a son. He's 24.
Well,
never had his pants down below his waist. He said, "Dad, I like my clothes like unique." So,
James, I gotta run. The computer's gonna cut me off. All that to say, it seems like you're a great dad. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. All right, let's check in with the Todd Stern Show job board. Some of you may be looking for work, and I want to pass along this information. Those of you in St. Louis, Missouri, you could possibly have a $200,000 a year job. This is pretty awesome. They are now hiring an assistant school superintendent. So if you want to work with the children of America, then you can be hired at an annual salary of $200,000 a year. And I'm sure there are good benefits. I think you get your summers off. That's always nice. But here is one little caveat. According to the job description, and there are a number of things that you should be able to do if you are, in fact, going to be the assistant superintendent of the St. Louis Park Public Schools. According to this, and our friends at End Wokeness, the ideal candidate must utilize diverse communication methods and languages to effectively reach a broad range of audiences. Oh, I speak Southern. I also speak Jive. Yo, bro. That means, hello, how are you, friend? I don't know what overcame me. Here we go. They also actively listen for both spoken and unspoken racial concerns, seek multiple racial perspectives, examine the presence and role of whiteness in systems and structures, and are open to feedback regarding their own racial blind spots. Who, me? Now, I just want to say this. I'm not quite sure what that means. What does it mean to examine the presence and role of whiteness? I am white, therefore I am. I am Caucasian man. What? I don't know what that means. Anyway, but you have to be able to examine it. All right. Dylan, I observe that you are a honky man. You're a white person. Is that what they mean? I mean, what do you do after you observe the fact that somebody is white? You must also be someone who fosters joy and cultivates a culture of accountability for systemic racial equity transformation. I think this is a very polite way of saying white people need not apply. That's what I think this is. But I do appreciate the fact that they capitalize whiteness. I mean, that's a step in the right direction, or white direction. I kid you. That's my whiteness coming out. So there you go. So if you can do that, then you're going to have $200,000 a year. That is a very, very fine salary. Working with the children of America. Seattle Public Schools, big trouble, ladies and gentlemen. They have decided to dismantle the gifted and talented program. And the reason why is that administrators said it was oversaturated with white people and Asian kids. Instead, they are going to create a more inclusive, equitable, culturally sensitive, and stupid program. I added that last word. The district began phasing out its highly capable cohort schools. What? What does that mean? So, where do you go to school? I'm a highly capable cohort. The district began phasing out those schools and classrooms for advanced kids in the 2022 school year due to racial inequities. The school officials tell our friends over in Seattle that the new program will be more inclusive, equitable, and culturally sensitive. They say students who have been historically excluded will now have the same opportunities for services as every other student. Okay, I just have a question here, and I want to point out something about Seattle schools. They don't have a lot of black folks living in Seattle. I just want to point that out. According to this article here from the Seattle Times, the racial makeup of the city is as follows. And let me see here. We'll get to that in just a moment. This is the racial makeup of the highly capable cohort program. All right, ready? 13% multiracial, 11.8% Asian, 3.7% Hispanic, 1.6% black. Nearly 70% of the students were white. Now, here's the challenge. The school district is overwhelmingly white. So I'll just use Memphis as an example because we're sort of like the mirror opposite of what's happening in Seattle, where Memphis is a majority black city. So it would make sense that there would be more blacks in the honors program in Memphis, Tennessee, because there are more black people living here, right? There's nothing racist about that. That's not anti-white. That's just a matter of, okay, you got a large black population, so you're going to have more black students in the school, and you're going to have more black kids in the honors program. That's all. So what I have not found here is any sort of allegation that black students or minority students were intentionally left out of the honors program simply because of their skin color. Now, if that were the case, that would be a huge problem, and you would need to fix that. But right now, I'm not seeing any of this in the local reporting. So what does all of this mean? Well, it's very simple. You're about to have some really stupid people in important jobs in Seattle, Washington. Now, the supporters of the new program say this is going to create a stronger sense of community. But really, is that really what the point of the honors program is all about, is community? Shouldn't it really be about helping those young people who are smarter, more intelligent, help them get to where they need to go to expand their horizons? Because let's get real. There are some people that are smarter than other people, and it has nothing to do with skin color at all. And I guarantee you there are a lot of incredibly brilliant black kids who went through the honors program. But to say that we're going to just dumb down the program so that we can get more racial diversity, that makes no sense at all to me. Just want to ask you a question here. They're about to rebuild this bridge in Baltimore. Would you rather have the most brilliant architects and the civil engineers, the brightest and the most brilliant in the nation, or would you rather have a civil engineer who came up through a diversity program and ended up being a diversity hire? Which one would you like? All right, let's go to Seattle, where you've got a lot of the airplane industry and the builders of the airplanes, Boeing and whatnot. Let's just say, for the sake of the argument, would you rather have brilliant scholars and engineers building your planes and designing your planes, or would you rather have diversity hires who may not be as smart, may not be as knowledgeable, but because of the cultural sensitivities, they got the job? I mean, it goes back to the lady who was, I was flying on a Boeing 737 a couple of, was it last month? And the lady in the window seat wanted to change seats with me. And the reason why is she was afraid that something might happen to the plane and the panel might blow out. And I politely explained to the woman, wait, so you want me to sit there so I'll get blown out of the plane? I don't think so. And I said, hey, here's the deal. I'll hold on to you super. I will make sure that you don't get blown out of the airplane. When push comes to shove, I think all of us want to make sure that the pilot can fly the plane. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, be sure to hang out with us tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Watch the big show. We have some great guests coming up, including Walker Wildman from American Family Association. Congressman Kevin Hearn is going to join us as well. Ought to be a lot of fun, and we hope that you will join us again, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax TV. All right, I want to bring into the conversation a good friend of this program, Art Alley, founder of the Timothy Plan. TimothyPlan.com is the website. Art, hope you're doing well today. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, man. Always a pleasure, Todd.
You know, Art, we were talking earlier about this 29-year-old young lady. She is working three jobs. She is single, and she says she is broke, that she can't afford anything, says she's living off of her credit cards. I'm curious, what advice do you give younger people that are, you know, trying to start out in life and, you know, put some money away in savings? What do you tell people?
Quit voting for the Democrats, for number one. But number two, I mean, you know, there is a tried and true formula that works only every time, Todd, on preparing for that. Number one is we do tend, and I'm not saying she is, I'm sure she's working hard and really struggling, and it is tough today. But we do, there's a lot of things that we think are necessities that are not. So KISS, keep it simple, stupid, live simply, live within your means, stay out of debt. Debt alone is a real burden that you carry. And I try to tell people, you know, if you're debt free and, you know, eventually as you get older, have your house paid for, you don't have to make a lot of money to get by in this world. So it's a combination of spending way too much on stuff you don't need and high car payments instead of that new car, buy a good late model used one, you know, low mileage, and get that paid for. Just stay out of debt, because debt is the killer, and that puts a real pressure on people. I wrote a whole biblical stewardship study course on what the Bible says about handling money from cradle to grave. And it says more about that subject than any other. And the question why would be answered in my mind anyway. God knew where we'd get in trouble. All of our training on handling money, and I'm not trying to criticize this young lady, I'm sure she's struggling, but all of our training, Todd, comes from the world, not from the church or God's word. And we know who runs that deal, and it's no wonder we get in a mess. Her story is way too common today, and people are struggling And it is a struggle with the high inflation and the cost of food and everything else. I'm not minimizing that, but you know, we could do some things to really tone down where we're spending this money God entrusts to us.
Art, I'm curious. There's a big story that's been covered nationally. California, as of April 1st, raising the minimum wage for fast food workers to $20 an hour. That's the minimum, $20 an hour. The new rule raises the wage by about 25% for workers at the large chain restaurants, I guess like McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King. And I'm curious, when you look at the unemployment rate in California, it's already the highest in the country, 5.3%. I'm curious, do you anticipate that number going up, and how could the minimum wage negatively affect the economy?
Todd, I'm sure every listener knows how to spell the word stupid. I mean, it's just, well, I was going to say common sense, but that's uncommon today. There is an agenda. They are trying to take down America. They know what it's going to do. It's going to put a lot of young people out of work. Those that aren't out of work, facilities are going to have to raise their amount they charge for their various products to cover that kind of cost. It is typical communist socialist thinking that never works, ever. So absolutely it's going to go up, and I don't think they care. You know, they just talk a good game, but they do the things that are hurting people over and over and over again. This is no change. This is crazy, but in their mind, it's not crazy. You know, they're gonna raise their minimum wage, and maybe they'll vote for them, I guess, is what their rationale is. Well, they're not going to vote for them if they lose their job and
that's
are on
true.
The unemployment line. It never works. It will never work. Free enterprise is the only system that's ever worked. Quit meddling with it and let the marketplace set the wages and set the prices and set all the rest. It only works every time.
Art Alley is founder and president of Timothy Plan, the nation's leading biblically based pro-life, pro-family mutual fund group. And they use incredibly stringent moral screening criteria to avoid investing shareholders' money in any company that would have beliefs that are contrary to Scripture. And, Art, I'm curious, you know, what will people find? They go to timothyplan.com. What sort of information should they be looking for when they get to your website?
Todd, that website has been designed in a way that even I can navigate it. So anything they're curious about, it's easy to find. They'll actually find the Biblical Stewardship study course on the homepage when they pull it up, if they scroll down a little bit. Now, we're updating that, so that's in the process of being modernized because I wrote it 25 years ago. But it's easy to navigate, and if you have trouble navigating that, you and I are probably related, but it really is easy. But call 800-TIM-PLAN, 800-846-7526. We have human beings answer the phone who will connect you with a human being who will answer your questions.
Love it. Love it. Again, timothyplan.com, ladies and gentlemen, is the website. Go there. And take some time this afternoon and look around. And if you've got especially a younger member of your family, get them involved early in the process and get them started down this incredibly important path. And our friends at Timothy Plan, award-winning faith-based mutual funds, they're not going to lead you astray. All right, Art, we've got a skedaddle, my friend, but it's always good hearing from you, and we appreciate your great wise words.
Okay, great, man. Always a pleasure.
Likewise.
God bless. Take care.
All right. God bless. Art Alley, everybody, with the Timothy Plan, and what a great resource for our audience. And they have a proven track record. Over 30 years they've been doing this, and they do it incredibly well. All right, folks, just a reminder, 5 o'clock tonight on Newsmax. Be sure to watch. You can watch on all of the Newsmax social media platforms, YouTube, Facebook, you name it. And also, do us a favor. Will you tell someone about our new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Get a copy of the book, read it, and buy a copy for someone else. Maybe somebody at your church, maybe your pastor. Put a copy in your church library. I want every American citizen, and especially Christians, to read Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? All right, we've got to scoot out of here, folks. Been a great day. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow. In the meantime, head over to ToddStarns.com. Be good, America.